Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we meet the commander and crew of the new USS Minnesota, who are in town for a big announcement this weekend, and we'll check out a Veterans Resource Center that may be coming to you soon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 100 Minnesota cities, counties, corporations, and colleges have been designated as Yellow Ribbon entities throughout Minnesota. Perhaps you've seen signs welcoming you into Yellow Ribbon communities. Tomorrow, I will have the honor, along with the governor of the state of Minnesota, of recognizing our newest Yellow Ribbon entities, Grand Rapids, Hibbing, Chisholm, Pine City, and Cliffs Natural Resources. These great towns and company have modeled exceptional commitment to our service members and their families. I frequently receive feedback from families of deployed service members across Minnesota who have received support in the form of lawn care, child care, meals, car repair, household chores, and tutoring coordinated by their neighbors. Yellow Ribbon networks have all demonstrated willingness to aid military families in many of these ways. I have heard of experienced business leaders who have stepped forward to assist families with budgeting and investment assistance. Yellow Ribbon networks, businesses, and communities have committed to ensuring that returning veterans have mentors to assist in finding employment that will build on the strong leadership skills they develop during a deployment. And of course, our Yellow Ribbon networks across Minnesota are always involved in the send-offs or return of our service members. We appreciate your visible sign of support on these very emotional days. Be a part of something big and learn how you can link in with your city or town's Yellow Ribbon network, or start one in your community. Find out more at beyondayellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradiohour.com. Joining us now are the commanding officer and the executive officer of the USS Minnesota, Commander John Fancher and Lieutenant Commander Craig Hempeck. Gentlemen, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
here.
For having us.
Commander, can you tell us the USS Minnesota is under construction? And tell us a little bit about it.
The USS Minnesota is a Virginia-class submarine. It's under construction in Newport News, Virginia, on the East Coast. The submarine, just to give you a feeling for the size of it and some vital statistics, it's 377 feet long. A good visual for people up here in Minnesota is that's the part of the left field power alley at Target Field is 377 feet long from home plate. So that's how large it is. 34 feet in diameter and weighs just shy of 8,000 tons.
That is a big boat, sir. You're not going to turn that on a dime, are you?
No. It's pretty maneuverable, but like you said, 8,000 tons doesn't move around on a dime.
Commander, the name USS Minnesota has been used for a couple other ships. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, sir. This Minnesota is going to be the third ship named Minnesota. It's the second ship named after the state. The first Minnesota is actually named after the river Minnesota. Basically because the first Minnesota was commissioned for the Civil War, and it was commissioned before Minnesota was a state. It was a steam frigate that served in the Civil War and was in the Battle of Hampton Roads at the first Battle of Ironclads between Monitor and Merrimack there in Newport News, Virginia. The second one was part of the Teddy Roosevelt's Great White Fleet. It was BB-22, and it served through the beginnings of the 1900s. And now there's been plenty of other ships named after cities and places in Minnesota, but not another ship named Minnesota since the battleship at the beginning of the 1900s. So when Minnesota is commissioned, it'll be over 100 years since there was a ship commissioned Minnesota.
Is that unusual, Commander?
Not always. The Like I said, there's it's important to keep ties to locations and to basically honor the support that states and cities give to the military, and certainly Minnesota has a great history of supporting the military. There was, like I said, a lot of other ships named, for example, Minneapolis or the St. Paul or the Minneapolis-St. Paul. And in fact, the naming of the Minnesota was probably somewhat coincident with the decommissioning of the last submarine named Minneapolis-St. Paul, which occurred in 2008, which was the same year that the Secretary of the Navy announced the naming of the new submarine Minnesota.
We're speaking with the commanding officer and soon to speak to the executive officer of the USS Minnesota on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. XO, I understand that there are going to be 30 of these Virginia-class submarines, and this is the Minnesota the 10th?
That's correct. The Virginia-class is scheduled to be a 30-ship class. Minnesota is the 10th. The Navy just accepted USS California last month, so we're about just a little under 2 years away from commissioning Minnesota and bringing her to life into the Navy.
And Commander Hembeck, I understand you've got a connection to Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm a Minnesota boy. I grew up in Brandon, Minnesota, up near Alexandria. Graduated in the class of 92, and then enlisted in the Navy immediately following that. And then a few years into it, kind of liked what I was doing, so I applied to the Naval Academy, went to the Naval Academy, and got my commission, and been serving in the submarine force since.
And Commander, you've got a tie to Edina, I understand.
Yes, sir. My wife is from Edina. We've been married this spring will be 10 years.
Commander, it must be a privilege to be assigned to a new boat under construction, and between you and your XO, you've got a lot of years of experience, don't you?
Yes, sir. I've just went over 20 years since my commissioning and starting in the submarine force. I graduated from the Naval Academy in 1991, and the XO brings a lot of experience himself. And that's required because our job, it's pretty complex trying to get a crew together to take a brand new ship to sea for the first time.
And have you had an opportunity to go aboard some of the other, the earlier versions of this submarine?
Yes, sir. I got underway on USS North Carolina, and I've been aboard the California and the Mississippi.
And I'm just curious, how long do they go out to sea for? How long are the deployments?
Well, if it's an actual deployment, it can be the standard is pretty much 6 months, but sometimes that'll extend. Lately, some boats have gone away for 7 months but that's deployments. A lot of times we go in and out from home port for training, and that can be anywhere from a week to a month or.
Are the long deployments, how tough are they on your crew, on your sailors?
Well, the guys do pretty good, and we have a strong family support network. So before we go on deployment, we take a lot of time, make sure our sailors and their families are ready to go. But it still gets tough on the guys. Communication on a submarine, even in 2011, is pretty limited, and most people would be surprised at how infrequent we can talk to our families. But we do a pretty good job of keeping the morale up while we're underway and out on deployment.
Now, in my day, it was all men on the submarines, as I recall. But have they changed that, Commander?
Well, for the submarine force in general, recently we have started selecting submarine female officers to serve in the submarine force. One of the questions I get asked a lot is, well, will women serve on the Minnesota? And as far as right now, the program for those women, they go aboard a different class of submarine. They go aboard the ballistic missile submarines and the guided missile submarines, and that's where they go right now. Whether or not that changes in the next 33-year life of the Minnesota is anybody's guess, but right now they would not be going to the Minnesota.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about what it takes to bring a ship to life and kind of go through that process and where we are with the U.S. Minnesota. And you're both sitting here smiling. I wish the listeners could see you. I think you're really looking forward to bringing this ship to life.
Absolutely.
So we'll be right back with the Commander and XO of the USS Minnesota. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us.
Hi, my name is Captain Casey Vulcan. I'm in Camp Patriot, Kuwait with 1st Battalion, 125th Field Artillery. Just want to wish a happy holidays to my family and friends back in Minnesota, specifically New Brighton, Minnesota, where my wife Tana and kids Alexis and Cole live. Happy holidays, and I'll see you guys soon.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me today is the captain and the XO of the new USS Minnesota, Commander John Fancher and Lieutenant Commander Craig Hempeck. Commander, I'm fascinated with, I've been reading an article about what it takes to bring a ship to life, and specifically with you here, of course, I'm interested in what it takes to bring the USS Minnesota to life. Can you tell us a little bit about how that goes and where you are in the process?
Sure. Broad aspects, at first, the Navy decides to build a ship and they set a contract. It's going to take somewhere a little bit over 60 months, so a little bit over 5 years to construct the Minnesota. And right now we're about 3 years into that process. The crew mans up, starts manning up at about the 2.5 year point into that. So we're past, and we've got about half the crew already assigned there in Virginia, helping test and train for eventually taking the ship to sea. The first thing that occurs that is of note in the life of the ship is a ceremony that occurred back in May, which is called keel authentication, or some people might remember it being called keel laying. But in today's modern construction process, there's lots of pieces of the submarine that are constructed long before the ship sponsor authenticates the keel. That's where the ship sponsor, who's a lady, scribes her initials onto a plate of metal. That those initials are welded into that metal and then affixed to the submarine. And it's a tradition that basically authenticates that the keel is truly and fairly laid. That happened back in May, and the ship sponsor is Ellen Ruffhead, the wife of the former Chief of Naval Operations Gary Ruffhead, who's and Ellen is a Minnesota native.
XO, I saw some photos of that with some sailors standing in front of the keel or the circular ship. It's enormous, isn't it?
Absolutely. That picture you're looking at is one of the ring modules that is the pressure hull. And the ship is about 34 feet in diameter, so it's equivalent to a three-story building, 377 feet long. It's quite massive. But once you put all the equipment inside, it's a pretty snug fit.
And a crew of, you said, 100 and...
The crew has about 135 people, 15 officers, 120 enlisted men. Right now, like the captain said, we have about 80 crew members on board, mainly the engineers who do most of the testing early on in construction. And then we bring on the rest of the crew, the sonar men, the fire control men, auxiliary men, torpedo men, so they can start training and then testing their systems as the shipyard finishes up construction on the ship.
And, Captain, this is a nuclear-powered attack submarine, and what kind of capabilities, what kind of armaments?
We carry the standard torpedoes that everyone would be familiar with for submarines, for anti-submarine warfare and anti-surface warfare. We also carry Tomahawk land attack missiles for projecting power ashore. And certainly, I'm sure you're familiar with some Tomahawk activities that have occurred, over the past 10 years, 20 years, in the various wars that we've fought. And certainly submarines have participated in all of those. We also are specifically designed to carry Special Operations Forces and SEALs. The Virginia-class was specifically designed after the Cold War and with the thought of helping fight the wars that would be in the future, and that was needing to operate easily in shallow water in the littorals and also to support Special Operations Forces.
We're speaking with the captain and the XO of the new USS Minnesota on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Captain, we're going to talk about the logo for the ship in the next segment coming up, but you're at a point now where they're building the ship and your crew, the pre-commissioning crew, is already assigned to the ship. Now, what are you observing? Are you participating in the construction? Are you getting ready to take over and maintain the ship going down the road? What is the crew doing now while the ship's being built?
There's two main things the crew does as the ship is being built. The first thing that we do and foremost is get ready to take the ship to sea for the first time on sea trials. You know, the shipyard or nobody else, they don't operate the ship. The ship's crew operates the ship. And for the vast majority, at least 90% of the crew, this will be the first time they've actually went to sea and operated a Virginia-class submarine. So there's a lot of training and practicing that we do on simulators and sometimes our own equipment. That's a pretty long and complex process, and so that's why the crew is assigned so early, just for that fact. The other thing that we do is we are really who accepts the submarine from the shipyard for the Navy. We do a lot of the engineering testing for the propulsion plant. You mentioned the reactor. We test the reactor as it comes together, so that, you know, when we do take it to sea on that first day of sea trials, we know it's going to operate the way it should.
So you're observing and training, and it's going to be up to you to decide whether or not the ship is completed properly, and then accept it and take it to sea, because you've got to go out on that boat, don't you?
Exactly. We there's lots of requirements, and it's pretty much a gargantuan checklist, but we're the ones that run the checklist.
XO, I understand sometime in 2012 there'll be a christening. Is that one of the next steps?
Yes, sir. The ship has three main ceremonies in the life of construction, and the first one the captain mentioned is keel laying. In November of 2012, the next event is the ship's christening, where the sponsor, Ellen Roughhead, will break the traditional champagne bottle and christen the ship Minnesota at that time. And then finally, the final event is the commissioning of the ship, which is likely to happen in fall of 2013. And that's when the sponsor again gives the command to bring the ship to life, and the crew runs aboard, and then Minnesota becomes a ship of war in the United States Navy.
Now, Captain, between the christening and the commissioning, do you get to put it in the water? Do you get to do some trial runs? What happens then?
Christening for our submarine, what's going to happen is the christening will occur, and then within a few days to a week of that time, the ship will be, that is when it'll be put into the water. There's continued fitting out of that ship that occurs for the next 6 months after that, and then at that point is when we take it out on the initial sea trials. And then from that point, for the next 3, 4, sometimes 5 months, it's continually conducting more intensive and detailed sea trials until commissioning.
Getting more and more exciting all the time, isn't it?
Sir.
I can just see on both of your faces when you talk about taking it out to sea, you're smiling, your eyes are twinkling.
Absolutely. It's quite a nice piece of equipment we get to operate for the country, so we're looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to seeing it, too. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the logo contest and the logo that you've chosen for the USS Minnesota. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us.
I'm Sergeant Jay Ellingson from Camp Beer in Kuwait. I'd like to give a shout-out to my wife, Patience, my boys, Miguel, Ronnie, and JJ, and my daughter, Frankie. Happy holidays.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm here with the captain and XO of the new USS Minnesota, Commander John Fancher and Lieutenant Commander Craig Hempeck. XO, I'm curious, can you tell me just a little bit more about the class of this submarine and what its capabilities are, and how long can you go out on a deployment?
Absolutely, yeah. The Virginia class, and like most other submarines, she's capable of going to sea normally for 6 to 7 months. We make our own electricity, nuclear-powered, so unlimited endurance. We can go anywhere in the world, worldwide deployable. Make our own electricity. We make our own oxygen. Make our own water. About the only thing that limits us is the amount of food we can bring on board. So we can bring about 90 days on board. Some of the longer stretches of actually submerged underway time will be 60, 70, 80 days. There's even guys that have occasionally gone 100 days straight at sea. So it can get challenging at the end, for sure, but any chance that we can come in and get some food and keep on going, that's good for the crew and crew's morale. Capability-wise, like I said, worldwide deployable. When we go on deployments, when we're not in a war footing, we typically go out and conduct ISR-type missions, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance. Because submarines provide that long endurance capability, we can stay with a naval force or off a coast of a country and observe for weeks or months on end. So that's a unique capability of a submarine. And as we like to say in the submarine force, we are the original stealth platform. Been around for over 110 years, long before there were stealth fighters and stealth bombers.
Captain, it sounds like a heck of a boat with a lot of capabilities. How hard are these long deployments on your sailors?
Well, certainly they're not easy, but you know, the submarine force likes to say that we have some of the best men in the military, men and women now, as you were talking about before, there's quite a bit of, first off, it's an all volunteer service, all volunteer for the submarine force specifically. Nobody gets forced into the submarine force, so everybody wants to be there. They want to do a great job, and they do a great job. And I think that's really what drives everybody through these long deployments, just trying to do the best they can be, do the best they can do for the country.
We're speaking with the captain and the XO of the new USS Minnesota, nuclear-powered attack submarine, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. Captain, one of the steps of bringing the ship to life was to choose a logo, and you had a logo contest, I understand.
Yes, sir, and that's actually why we're in the area right now. Is you know, we announced the winner of the logo contest yesterday at Target Field, and it was a great contest. The real reason for the contest, quite honestly, strategically, was to raise the awareness of the for the state that you know, there's a submarine being built and it's named after your state, and we wanted to build that connection with Minnesota, because you know. The crew, they want to identify with what they're named after, and so that's part of what this logo contest was, and I think it was highly successful and will set the footing for continued connections with the state.
You had choices of logos from students across Minnesota.
There was a great many choices. It was over 110. Entries, and they're all great, inspirational, and so what happened was the Twin Cities Council of the U.S. Navy League, which actually ran the contest for us, collected all the entries and looked at them all, forwarded them to us. They gave us their list of 15 finalists, and then we, as the entire crew, voted. And selected the winner, and you can see the winner on a lot of websites now. It was a great logo,
and we'll have a link to that on our website later today. Can you tell us what the logo and means?
Well, there's a motto on it, and it's basically Latin and translates loosely to from the North Star power. That's been a motto that we've been using for the last year, and connects with the North Star state. And there's a prominent Viking on it, and it, you know, that signifies, you know, it's the Vikings have a great heritage in the area, you know, Scandinavian in Minnesota, and then also the fact that they were a powerful seafaring heritage. There's also it links the fact that this is the third ship Minnesota. It has three chains. Chain links going around the seal and three stars, and then on the and also can't forget the killer walleye on the bow of the submarine on the logo.
So, Captain, you and your crew voted or chose the logo, and you announced that, you said, yesterday.
Yes, it was. We had a really nice event that the Twins organization set up for us, since that's where we announced the logo contest initially in August, and they wanted to close out the announcing the winner for us also.
Captain, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about bringing this new boat to life, the USS Minnesota?
Well, I just wanted to say, the real reason was to build that connection. That's why we did the logo contest. All the entries, you know, it was inspirational to see all the effort and participation that that this logo contest generated. It's obvious the support that Minnesota has for the military in general, and you know, if there's a need, you know, you certainly come through with the support. And you know, when the Minnesota goes out to sea eventually and eventually deploys, it's like the XO said, it's worldwide deployable. We'll pull into a lot of different foreign ports. And first and foremost, we're a representative of the country. But every place we pull in, there's going to be a banner, and it's going to say USS Minnesota. And so we're a representative of the state, and we want to be the best representative we can.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
That was the captain and the XO of the new USS Minnesota, Commander John Fancher and Lieutenant Commander Craig Hempeck. We'll have links to that site on our website, so you can go look at the logo and follow the story of bringing the new USS Minnesota to life. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how Veterans Employment Representatives are helping Minnesota service members find work. In Minnesota, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, or DEEDS, operates 49 workforce centers throughout the state. And it is the workforce centers that veterans can connect to veterans employment representatives, whose mission is to get veterans back to work. In a matter of 5 to 6 months, more than 2,300 Minnesota National Guard soldiers will be coming home from Kuwait. We already know today that more than 500 of them will return unemployed. Those veteran employment representatives aren't waiting until their feet hit Minnesota to start lining up new opportunities for them. Deed tells us that Minnesota workforce centers are where prospective employers and veterans looking for work meet, and good businesses get better. They pay special attention to matching up veteran-friendly jobs with qualified leaders from our military ranks. The virtual home where this connect takes place is MinnesotaWorks.net. Many employers today are specifically seeking out the skills and character traits that service members have. In addition to posting your jobs at MinnesotaWorks.net, employers are also encouraged to talk with their local workforce center and connect with their local Yellow Ribbon networks to find qualified veterans looking for new employment opportunities. Find out more by clicking the Employment tab at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Thank you to veteran employment representatives and employers for making veteran employment a priority. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Find out more at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bringing service members all the way home. Coming up next, we'll check out a Veterans Resource Center that may be coming to you soon. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
This is Sergeant Jenny Bankstead, stationed with the 10th Sustainment Brigade on Bagram Airfield, Afghanistan. I would like to wish my family and friends from Minnesota a Merry Christmas. I love you and I miss you.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Now it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
As the holiday season approaches, you may find yourself asking what you can do to support Minnesota's military members, veterans, and their families. One way you can show your support is by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for yourself or to give to someone as a gift. These license plates are special because they are a gift that will continue to give year after year. I am proud to display my support each and every day with a SOT license plate on my car. To purchase a Support Our Troop license plate, visit your local Department of Motor Vehicles or call 651-4-TROOPS. Drive home your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now from the Brooklyn Park Veterans Center is Lina Montour and Bernard Beeman. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Bernard, can you tell me a little bit about the Brooklyn Park Veterans Center? What does it do? Who do you help?
Brooklyn Park Vet Center is a part of the Department of Veteran Affairs Readjustment Counseling Service. We provide readjustment counseling and outreach services to all veterans who served in any combat zone. These services are provided in a comfortable, confidential, and secure and private setting without the stigma or embarrassment. Services are available to family members for military-related issues. We provide individual counseling, group counseling, counseling for military sexual trauma, marriage and family counseling, and we do bereavement of those family members who lost someone on active duty.
Now, you're one of the vet centers in Minnesota. There are vet centers all over the state, aren't there?
Yes, sir. There's three vet centers total. There is the New Brighton Vet Center off of 35W County Road D, and there is the Duluth Vet Center on Superior, 405 East Superior in Duluth.
And once again, who's eligible for these services that you provide?
Okay, the eligibility provides services for secure environment with no cost to war veterans and their families for the following eras: Vietnam War, Korea War, the Royal American Merchant Marine War, Vietnam Air, Libyan, Grenada, Panama, Persian Gulf, Somalia, Basra, Kosovo, Joint Guard, Global War on Terrorism, Operation Endurance Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and the New Dawn. Those are the different eras. Also, we, like Bernard said, we do provide sexual trauma and harassment from any veteran, regardless of gender or era of service. And then as far as the bereavements go, we do the parents, spouses, children, and siblings of armed force personnel who died serving their country, and family members of reservists and National Guard men and women who have died on active duty.
So pretty much for all our veterans out there, if they served in a war zone or they're eligible for the VFW, if they've got some issues, they should contact a veteran center and ask for some help.
Correct.
And you must coordinate some of your activities with the county veteran service officers, don't you?
Yes, definitely. County veteran service officers, the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs, all service agencies, whether it's local, state, federal, we work in concert, and that's an important thing. If you come to any vet center, if we can help you, we will definitely refer you to the resources that you need.
Now, Bernard, why should a veteran seek some counseling?
You know, counseling, there's been a stigma on psychological counseling, and it's time to reduce that stigma. We go and seek counsel naturally. If I needed some legal issues, I seek the counsel of an attorney. If I go and have a problem with my car, I seek the counsel of a mechanic. So when you have the experience of war, it brings about change. And so it's important to understand that military experience, you change socially. There's some physical changes, emotional changes, spiritual changes. It's very important. Why should you seek counseling? At the vet center, we, again, provide a protective, confidential place to talk. We have flexible hours. We're easily accessible, I should say, in the community. We are network knowledgeable about resources available. Most vet centers the staff consists of combat veterans ourselves. As veterans serving veterans, all family members are welcome, and it's no cost. And you can just drop one in.
We're speaking with Lina Montour and Bernard Beeman from the Brooklyn Park Veterans Center on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Bernard, just a follow-up to that, you know, in my day from Vietnam, we didn't even talk about counseling and PTSD and those things because it was a stigma. And if we went in for help with that, we were afraid we wouldn't be able to go back to Vietnam and go back with our units. Have those things changed? Are we doing a better job of that today?
We're doing a great job today, and it's because of people like yourself, the Vietnam veterans, that we learned the lesson. We learned the lesson that you can get help, you should seek help, and it's important to have veteran-to-veteran connections. The Vietnam veterans has helped to create the vet centers. Vet centers was created in 1979. The vet center administrative in 1979 was the Honorable Max Cleveland. He's a Vietnam War veteran and a senator. Mm-hmm. He says vet centers are outstanding places to go, and it's important for veterans to have a place to go to. And for it, our charge is to create an environment for the veteran to tell their story, if he or she choose to, and to ensure that they're in a loving relationship and to help them to continue to serve outside of themselves. So that's the premise of vet centers, thanks to the Vietnam veteran.
Now, we talk about readjustment counseling in your pamphlets and information here. Lina, can you tell me what that is?
For the readjustment counseling? Okay, so there's actually two parts. You actually have the in-service, which is where Bernard's at, which is you're in a building, in an office, you know, where you can talk to a counselor one-on-one. And then there's also what I do, which is the mobile vet center, which I'm able to go around the state of Minnesota, northern Iowa, and most of Wisconsin, and I make sure to provide a safe and secure environment when we have the one-on-one consultations to the veterans. We're also a veteran resources that is very mobile. That's why we call it the NVC. It's the mobile vet center is warm. It's private counseling, and it also complies with the American Disabilities Act of 1990, and it staffs a technician like myself and one counselor. We're also able to have encrypted communication with equipment so the NVC can staff the connection with the VA medical center and their networking so we could pull up patient records and telehealth capabilities. And then it also serves as a disaster response as well. So the vehicle allows for either the trauma or critical response counseling or acute medical care. And then the last thing is that the mobile vet center is visible within the community to allow military members and their families to be able to see that we're out there. And then it also, we're in parades and we do job fairs and we help other organizations, military organizations, and we support their programs as well.
So this is actually a vehicle, and you can take it to the communities where you don't have bricks and mortar and offices set up and reach out to the veterans in their hometowns.
Yes.
Correct.
It has been used with the emergency department. When the Red River flood happened a year or so ago, we was used as a command post over in Fargo. It was used in that capacity, so it has a multi-purpose.
Now, do you keep information on your website on where that mobile vet center is going to be?
No. Actually, what I mainly do for the mobile vet center is that we actually let the wherever the establishment or the CVSOs, which are the county service officers, we let them communicate to their veterans to let them know that the mobile vet center will be in their area. So it is very known. But then you can also check out the website, which is vetcenter.va.gov.
And the telephone number?
The telephone number is
877-WAR-VETS.
8774. Okay, we're just about out of time. Bernard, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yes, it's important that our listeners understand that when you experience, when you go overseas, when you go in combat zone, it changes you. And so to come back home, it takes time. Readjustment can take years. It can take decades. And so it's important to come to a place where you feel regarded, respected, and valued. The Department of Veteran Affairs Readjustment Counseling Service, Vet Centers, is such a place. One-stop shop without an appointment, free of charge for you and your family for the rest of your life. That's the least we can do. And thank you for your service and welcome home.
Lina, just a couple of seconds. You look like you really enjoy taking that mobile veteran center out to the communities.
I do. And I want to tell all the veterans, if they have not seen this mobile vet center, please contact us because I would love to come in your community, especially in northern Minnesota and southwestern Minnesota as well.
And one last time, where do they go for information?
Vetcenter.va.gov.
877-WAR-VETS.
Good team. Thanks for joining us today. That was Lina Montour and Bernard Beeman from the Brooklyn Park Vet Center and the Mobile Vet Center. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, the commander and crew of the new USS Minnesota, Lina Montour and Bernard Beeman from the Brooklyn Park Vet Center, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk with the 1st Brigade Combat Team direct from Kuwait with Colonel Eric Kerska, and we visit with the Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Vince Hokonen on Christmas morning. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.